Our scripture reading for today is found in the book of Hebrews. We'll be looking at chapter 13, verses 1 to 8, and verses 15 and 16. Let the love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though you are in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, so that you yourselves are also in the body. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you will have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their content, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks in his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. The word of the Lord. So I don't know if your family had the saying that my family had, which was, leave things better than you found it. It was always what drove our family, and I admit, drives me to this day. And it is how I have taught my boys to treat places, well, and people. It is absolutely how I was raised. I remember being on vacations, and even though we all knew full well that there would be a cleaning person come by and make our bed and throw trash away, that we would absolutely clean our hotel rooms on vacation. Even on vacation, I still had to make my bed. If we were to borrow a car, and I did this when I was young, I still do this to this day. If I borrowed a car, I don't just put fuel that I used in it. I will make sure the tank is completely full when I return it. Now, of course, I imagine that makes you all want to loan me your car. I'm good, just to let you know. But if I ever was, it would come back with a full tank. As I said, I always tried to apply that to people as well. When you meet a person, you want to leave them better than you found them, or better than they found you. I always want people better for the experience of having met me. I have considered this about Barbara's sabbatical. She will be away for the next few months, and I don't want us to just be okay when she comes back. Have you seen that Geico commercial? The one where somebody might ask, so how's the sushi? And the person responds, well, it's okay. Or, are you nervous about your surgery? How's the surgeon? Well, he's okay. Those are things that you don't want to hear in those critical moments of life. And as we have been given the responsibility of this community, I don't want us to return it okay. And as we set out on this journey together, I was so encouraged to read the lectionary passage for this week. See, in a lectionary, there's always a passage from the Hebrew scriptures, from the Psalms, from the Gospel, and usually from some of the New Testament writings. And today as we come, we see this passage that really reads like a blueprint for a healthy church. Now, it's not complicated, but it's certainly not easy. But I thought it would be a good challenge for us to simply walk through this writer's thoughts on what it means to be a vibrant community of faith. Well, right out of the gate, the writer says, let mutual love continue. Well, that's great. That's the church's job one. We know that. Our job is to love each other. The role of the church is to be a catalyst to deepen love, encourage love, and to provide opportunity for love. You can pray anywhere. You can do good anywhere. But it is in this gathering, this special gathering of the people of God, that we practice and nurture the calling of love. But sometimes, admittedly, love is hard to define. When we speak of love, it's not the emotion that we speak about. I'm not talking about the feels. I'm talking about the activity of love, this work that we practice. And the writer of this passage goes on to help us formulate a picture of what they mean when they say, let mutual love continue. Right out of the gate, the writer says, practice hospitality. Now, that might seem strange to you, but consider for a moment that our mission is to be the demonstration of God to humanity. And what is more of a defining trait in the message of the gospel than that of welcome? And that's all hospitality is. Hospitality is the practice of welcome. In the Middle Eastern culture to which this writer writes, it means that neither friend nor stranger knows hunger, cold, or loneliness, or fear when they are with you. They have your best all of the time. The writer even says that some, without being aware, have actually entertained angels. What that tells me is that you sometimes just don't know who it is that you are showing kindness to. But God has sent people to us because God trusts us to do what it is that we are called to do, and that is to demonstrate the heart of God. And the way that we do that is in our hospitality. But of course, there are some people who simply cannot get into our building. And it might be because of something that's going on for them physically. It might be something going on for them socially. It might just be that they don't have the courage that it takes to look at this stone building that is sitting on the road and actually walk through the doors having no idea what they will see on the other side. Passage says to remember the prisoners, whatever it is that has caused them to be prisoners. Now that word remember is more than thoughts and prayers. It's the kind of remember that is the same kind of remember when we get to communion and we hear those words of Jesus, remember me. It means that the people that we are remembering take up enough real estate in our brain that action results. People are prisoners for all kinds of things, all kinds of reasons. But it's asking us to remember those people to such a degree that we not only act, but we feel the torture that they're feeling. We're feeling the marginalization that they are feeling. We feel with them the way that the heart of God feels with them, and we extend our hospitality beyond these walls, beyond our place of comfort, to include them. That means that we go to them. The writer goes on, another way that we demonstrate mutual love, that we allow mutual love to continue, is to support faithful family love. Now, one thing that our job is not is to define what marriage is for you, what your marriage is supposed to look like, but we do make sure that it will always have honor and faithfulness and equity as you are working toward what it means to be a healthy family for yourself. We are here to support that. Another thing that mutual love means is that we should be careful getting caught up in defining ourselves by those things that we have. Don't get caught up in the love of money and the love of things. And often in that idea, we get this picture of this cartoonish greed. And that's not what it is, but it's that feeling of pursuing things that we think that we need and not leaving room for God to provide for us. The writer of Hebrews says, let mutual love continue to allow yourself room to learn that ultimately God has got you, that God will take care of you. It leaves room for love if I'm not so worried about the pursuit of worldly wealth. All of a sudden, I've got room for love. And then finally, as the writer comes to the end of the passage, He encourages us to look to those who lead and to live in their footsteps. He uses that same word again, remember. Remember those who have gone before you. It's a remember that says that we need to act. We need to do something as we look to the leaders that have led us and guided us, that we start walking in their stead, doing the things that they have taught us to do. You know, in our culture, church people often make a mistake that a pastor does all of the church stuff, that I've been hired to do all of the preaching, all of the visiting, all of the praying, and all of the God stuff. But I will tell you that a church will never grow if there is one or two professional Christians trying to keep up with all the work of the church, that we will never go beyond the capacity that these individuals can do. See, we are a family of ministers. My job and the other leaders here, our job is to help you discover, nurture, and use your gift within this family. See, church, the church, was never intended to be just attended. Let me say that again in case you missed it. The church was never intended to be merely attended. See, when we gather together on a Sunday morning, these are our weekly celebrations of God's faithfulness in the weekly mission that we have performed Monday through Saturday. I was encouraged by this passage. I look at this and I say, we can do this. We can be this. When we're talking about providing a church that is better than Barbara left it, this is what it looks like. So let us practice an aggressive hospitality, both to those who can come and to those who cannot. Let's support our families and help them know the love that they can have at home. Let us gather and keep each other accountable to the priorities that reflect the call of God. And let's set a priority of growing ministers within our congregation to do this work within and outside of our faith community. I'm committed to doing some extraordinary things with you this fall. Certainly, when we speak here, it's more than a church to give back to Barbara. We know that we are building a church that we are called to build together. It is God who has entrusted us with this church. It's one that we want to return back to God proudly. But God promises to be with us and build alongside of us if we place our hand on the wheel and follow God where we are called to go. Amen.